What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome to the From the Horse's Mouth as we get ready for the Aintree Festival. Thursday is upon us where, Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy are going to look ahead to it. Ruby, it's great to have you back on. You're now a special guest at this stage rather than a regular.
Yeah, it feels that way. But the last couple of special guests we had, PK, got shoved out the door. Chapman, Paddy Power. You kind of get worried when you get put on a sub bench a bit.
Never say never. Now, you say they've been shoved out the door. Paddy could make a glorious return. Matt Chapman, be careful what you wish for. He could come back too. So never say never.
I'm not saying ever. You have to be taking note of these things, PK, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not our decision sometimes.
Whatever I did to produce your mark, obviously, you know.
You raised the fee. I'd say that's what it was. Rory DeLarkey, how are you? You well?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad in sunny Devon.
Oh yes, you're in Exeter with the kids.
You're always keen to know where I am in the world.
Well, it's usually a different place. To be fair, if it's not the Middle East, if it's not in Hampshire, it's now in Devon, where you're eating your scones with cream and jam, or jam and cream, or whatever it is, and all that.
Don't even get into that. That's just too much politics for me.
It's definitely cream than jam, right? I'm not having that. And it's also a scone. It's not a scone. First of all,
it's butter.
Oh, okay. All right. Ruby, are you a butter or cream man in your scone?
I'm worried about the 145 in entry.
There you go.
All business. All right. Well, you get studying. Well, you've already done your study. I'm going to give you a few notes from producer Mark. There will be money back tokens available on the Paddy Power website. You can opt in, claim money back a token on day one of entry, allowing you to choose any race to get money back on if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. The link is in the show notes for the terms and conditions and to claim, including whether how many runners you need for that to be to apply. Punters panel is live. Ruby Walsh, Mick Fitz, and Frank Hickey were in the Paddy Power studio, and it's on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. If you want to watch it, you can also listen to it as a podcast. It's good fun, I must say. Some cracking questions for Mick in particular from friend of the pod, Andrew Morris. Also on that channel, you'll be able to watch Finders Keepers every day, every morning at Aintree, 8:30. There's going to be loads of cash. Not enough for Ruby by the sounds of things from the Punters panel, but loads of cash dropped into various Paddy Power accounts. Yes, I did listen to it, Ruby. But you do log on and actually watch that show, because basically loads of cash will be dropped into various Paddy Power accounts and all you got to do is withdraw it. So that's really good. And that's every morning at Aintree, 8:30 on all the Paddy Power social channels, including that Paddy Power Racing YouTube. And also one to watch out for is the brand new, and it's been heavily flagged up across the industry, the Horsepower website. That's horsepwr.co.uk, which shows you all about the thoroughbred from foal to racing. And most interestingly for me, post-racing, getting some good stats. Obviously, there's a lot of people talking about horse welfare when the Grand National comes around, but some good stats in that. It's a very good website, worth a look, particularly having conversations about it with your friends. Those who perhaps are thinking, that horse racing lark is a bit cruel, read that. There's some really good stuff in it, I must say. And a link to that in the show notes as well. Okay, Ruby Walsh wants to go. So we're going to talk about the 145 at Aintree. It is the first of what's going to be a bit of a slog at Aintree due to the ground. It is the grade one novice chase over 2.5 miles. It's got the rematch, hasn't it? Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny. Even money, Grey Dawning. We're recording Thursday, 12 o'clock. First show prices, 11-4, Ginny's Destiny. Illitate Tom for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend, 7-2. 9-1, Blow Your Wad. Colonel Harry, 25s. Okay, Ruby, the rematch. Is there any reason Grey Dawning gets reversed here?
I don't think so. I mean, it's Skelton v. Nichols v. Mullins, and that could be the story of the meeting, couldn't it? And they're going at it in the very first race. But do I think there'll be a turnover? I actually don't. I mean, what's the reason for it? There's no fresh horse as such, bar the top horse, who is Blow Your Wad. I'm not certain he's quite good enough for these. So I don't see a fresh one that wasn't at Cheltenham. Ilete Tom, Genius SD, Grey Dawning, they all had similar sort of races. Colonel Harry finished sixth, but he's disappointed me. He disappointed me at Weatherby when he beat Trelawne, and he was disappointing behind Nickelback at Sandown. So no, I don't see a reason for an upset. I think Grey Dawning is going the right direction, and slow ground, maybe it's not going to be. Maybe on quick ground, when Grey Dawning went a bit further at entry, probably but not on Thursday, it's going to be slow enough for his stamina to count.
It's always a conversation as they come into Aintree, Rory, about the Cheltenham form. It's a little bit longer this year, isn't it, in between Cheltenham and Aintree? And it's going to be something we're chatting about a lot. Will the Cheltenham form hold up? Do you think it will here?
I think so in this race, yeah. As Ruby says, I don't think, the only other horse you have who didn't go to Cheltenham is Blow Your Wad, who looks a little bit outclassed. So the Cheltenham form should stand up. It's a case of whether, I think the strongest piece of form there is unsurprisingly, the form of the Turners were great, Donny beat Ginny's Destiny. I thought there was virtually nothing between them that day. If Ginny's Destiny had winged the last, I think there would have been maybe a neck between them at the line. And given that Ginny's Destiny is fundamentally a very assured jumper, I think he's got every chance of turning the tables. Listen, if it was a case of these two horses meet each other, there's no odds available, who do you think will win? I would come down narrowly in favour of Grey Dawning. But there are odds available, and the odds are even money Grey Dawning. And what, 9-4, Ginny's Destiny?
11-4.
11-4. Well, see, I have to go Ginny's Destiny then with those odds. Because I think, as I said, I think there wasn't much between them. Grey Dawning, yeah, we know that he's probably got a bit more progress. But I'm not sure that's a given. I think he'd definitely improve next season. But I think Ginny's Destiny, despite the fact he's a year older, I think he's probably going to progress further over fences as well. And he'd done absolutely nothing wrong through the season. We know he handles testing ground as well. And as I said, you just change the jump at the last, get him to wing the last, which he's done pretty much every fence he's jumped this season. And he'd have gone very close. The form is really solid. And, you know, the question in Harry Cobden's head is, how can I make this different? And he's one of the jockeys you'd want to have on side in that scenario where, you know, you're racing against the same horse at the same weights in a similar sort of race. How can you do something different to change the result? I trust Harry Cobden maybe there's nothing obvious he can do on paper because he's on a very straightforward horse. Ginny's Destiny is probably going to go and make the running. He's probably going to jump well. Grey Dawning is going to look to come late as he did at Cheltenham. But at the prices, I just favour Ginny's Destiny because I think 11-4 maybe overestimates the gap between the pair.
Okay, very much a price angle from Rory. And while you were talking, Rory, Frank Hickey and co were listening. They just pushed out Grey Dawning to 11-10, literally while you were talking, from Even Money. So on to the big juvenile hurdle at the Aintree Festival, the anniversary. It's due off at 2:20, and it features Sergino, who's been declared, and he is 10-11. First show on Thursday afternoon. Cargese for Willie and Paul is 7-2. Second, obviously, in the Triumph. Khalif de Burley kept for this at 4-1 for Paul Nichols. And then Nürburgring for Joseph is 8-1, 12-1 into Leto. And Dirty Den is the big outsider, 150. All right, this we don't have. Or sorry, we have a favourite who didn't run at Cheltenham, Rory. But the question remains, is Hendo back in form yet?
No, is the answer to that. Well, in fact, he's had 8 runners since Cheltenham, and 2 of them have won. But obviously he's been picking and choosing which horses to run on the basis that, you know, he's hoping this one's definitely healthy, give it a go. And too many of those are disappointed. I think, you know, 6 of the 8 have been well beaten. 2 have won at reasonably short prices. He won a race at Kempton on the day after the festival. And then he had a winner a couple of days ago. But you would not be confident backing Sergino based on what happened at Cheltenham. What happened, you know, what was happening a week before Cheltenham and has been going on since. He may well be good enough to win this, but I could not be touching my odds on at all. I'm not even sure. Again, you can argue that the form of his win in the trial in January isn't that strong. And his rating, it's not like he's carrying one of the highest juvenile ratings into this race, historically speaking. He's rated 145, isn't he? I mean, that's not a huge rating. And of course, you know, the Milan Tino, who was third to him, that was meant to be a handicap lot in the Fred Winter. The handicap had given him a real chance, basically rated him according to that form in the Triumph Hurdle trial. And Milan Tino was again well beaten in the Fred Winter. So maybe the form isn't quite all that's been cracked up to be either. He does look an exciting horse for the future, but I couldn't really be backing him based on what's happened. I've always quite liked Carges, and she ran really well to be second in the Triumph. But I'm going to be taking a chance here on Nürburgring, who was behind her there and was behind her also at Christmas when the pair of them were carrying a penalty for winning in Grade 3 company. I thought he got a poor ride in the Triumph Hurdle. I think he didn't have to be right on the pace. You know, a couple of the mudlarks wanted to make it a fairly strong pace there, but the pace didn't, you know, it didn't continue through the race. It sort of slackened a little bit. And you couldn't come from too far back. And Nürburgring ended up making his move under JJ Slevin far too late in the day. I thought he made up a lot of late ground in a race that wasn't really run to suit that run style. He's ended up being beaten 14 lengths in the end. But he passed a few horses from the last hurdle and ran on really strongly. And I think that was his first run since Christmas. I think he's entitled to come on for it a little bit as well. And I think with a slightly more aggressive ride, he can go well. I'm interested to see that he's wearing a tongue tie for the first time as well, which is perhaps based on feedback from the Triumph. But he might be the underrated horse in this race at about sort of 8 to 10 to 1. And although I do still quite like Cargez, she's done nothing wrong. I think Nürburgring might be the overpriced horse in this contest.
And there's a new jockey as well. Danny Mullins has been put up on Nürburgring. JJ goes with Intoletto. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was kind of along the same lines as Rory. I find it very hard to oppose Sergino. I think Khalif de Burley is going to be a chaser for next year. But I thought Nürburgring, for whatever reason, never got going in the Triumph. He was never in the race. He never went forward. I don't think that was a true running for him. And he plugged on when the race was all over. I think Cargese had a pretty hard race. So I think Nürburgring had a much easier race. And I could see him getting involved. But from a betting point of view, I think Sergino is the best horse. I'd find it hard to bring myself to back him, but I just couldn't see myself chancing anything else.
Fair enough. Okay, so Sergino most likely winner for Ruby, hoping that the Nicky Hendo. You can call Alan King Kingy, and I can call Nicky Henderson Hendo there, Rory. Hendo is back in form. Right, on to the race number three, the 255, which is the Bowl. Pop into Paddy Power Shops, by the way, have a tenner in this race, and you get a free fiver to use on any other contest you want. And Jerry Kalam is the favourite for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kendi at 11-8. Shishkin, same question, same colour, Sergino, 3-1. Corbett's Cross, Emmett Mullins does not do things normally, and he's thrown the novice into open company. We've seen this before, 4-1. Brave Man's Game is 8-1. Ahoy, Senor. All right, Rory, if you paid him up, put him up again. 10-1 and 25-1, a bigger the rest, Gentleman's Game in Thunder Rock. Ruby, your thoughts on the Bull?
I think it's a difficult race. I think it's a great race. It'd be very interesting. I'm afraid of going more and more off Ahoy, Senor, the more he runs. Brave Man's Game, cheek piece for the first time, but to me, he hasn't been a good horse this year as he was last year. Gentleman's Game, I can't excuse. He's running the Gold Cup. Thunder Rock, yeah, I suppose even when you go back to his run in Carlisle, where he beat Mala Mission, that's sound enough form, but his rating would leave him plenty to find here. And I'm back to Jerry Kalam. And look, ordinarily, I would probably be against horses that ran so well in the Gold Cup coming to Aintree, but this fella came from being beaten there last year by the Real Whacker and won. Maybe that's lulling me into a false sense of security. It quite possibly is, but that's where I'm coming down. I'm coming down on Jerry Kalam. And when I look at it, Corbett's Cross, yeah, are they rolling the dice? Is he a Gold Cup horse? Just on ratings, he is £13 to find with Jerry Kalam. Will he find those £13? I don't know. Or is 157 an ideal mark for an English national?
And he's 16 to find with Shishkin as well. So, I mean, we've been here before with him, and he did it with that novice who won a bumper, a hurdle, and a grade one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he just does things differently, doesn't he?
He thinks outside the box, and you definitely can't knock it. But I am a fan of Corbett's Cross, but I think he won the weakest novice chase at Cheltenham. He was second to Grange Clare West, third to Grange Clare West. He beat 3-car Bragg. Just when I look at it, he always struck me as a type of horse for an English Grand National. And I wonder, is that where he could end up this time next year?
Okay. So Ruby, sticking with Jerry Kalam in what does look an absolute cracker. Rory DeLargy.
I'm inclined to agree with Ruby here with Jerry Kalam. I've always thought that he might be better on a flat track. And he was certainly impressive here last season, having maybe not run to his very best when beaten in the Brown Advisory at Cheltenham. I thought he looked a little bit uncomfortable coming down the hill that day. But he was happy when winning here last season. So he's got no problem backing up. He's got no problem following a tough run at Cheltenham with a reasonably short turnaround to entry. So although he clearly had a pretty hard race in the Gold Cup, that was a career best from him. And he is the standout on that performance. You can't really knock that at all. The Gold Cup form is very solid. So it's just a case of whether he's ready to back up again. And Gordon's kept him fairly fresh this season as well, give him a fair break between Leopardstown at Christmas and Cheltenham. So I think he will be he will remain in good form. And it's going to be hard to beat here. Again, it's hard to beat. It's hard to back Shishkin, given Nicky's travails, but also given what Shishkin can do. He is moody. He did turn up last year in this race and won it quite nicely, but he didn't look that happy through the race. He traded a big price in running that day and then decided to really show what he could do between the last two fences. It came a swamp to Hoy Senor. If he runs to that level again, he's got a chance, but he's looked a twicer to me for the last couple of seasons. And given all that's gone on, he's a hard horse to back. I don't think Corbett's Cross at this stage is as good as his Cheltenham win makes him look. Again, I don't think he had to beat an awful lot on the day. He is very promising, Corbett's Cross. Still fairly raw, and next year he might be a real player, but I think this is a tough ask for him at this stage. Even I can't keep backing Ahoy Senor. I don't think, even if you believed Ahoy Senor was going to put his best foot forward here, as he has done at Aintree for the past three seasons, I don't think heavy ground is in his favour at all. Even I can't back him. Similar story for Brave Man's Game. He ran a brave enough race in the Gold Cup, but was well beaten in the end, and heavy ground here won't particularly suit him. Whereas, although Gordon was making noises that, you know, Jerry Colombe's not really a heavy ground horse, you know, he thinks, Gordon said he thought he might be even better in good ground. But I think you talk like that when you think you're going to have a good ground Gold Cup and you want to think you've got the winner. Now that the ground is heavy, I think he'd be perfectly happy running on it. And he's shown multiple times through his career that he's suited by it. He's a big, heavy topped horse, and horses like that do tend to show the best form on soft and heavy ground. So he's a hard one to be against.
Yeah, that's a double vote for Jerry Kalam in the bold. You offer 255. All right, move on to the Aintree Hurdle. This is the ultimate kept for Aintree race on this particular season because it's the 2.5 miler over hurdles. There is no such race at Cheltenham. And Imperial Pass and Bob Olinger, for different reasons, I suppose, both kept for this race. Bob Olinger is your favourite 11-10. Imperial Pass, bitterly disappointing this season, 9-4. Langer Dan came right back to form, didn't he, at Cheltenham? Amazing. He has now been put into Grade 1 Company, 8-1 for Dan Skelton. Lucia, one of the few Nicky Henderson horses to run really well at Cheltenham, is there at 9-1, and then it is 12-1 and bigger the rest. Okay, Rory, back to you.
Langer Dan, surely this is the first race to get him handicapped for Cheltenham next season, isn't it? How much can he drop for finishing down the field here? That's the...
£10, if it's the BHA handicap, you can go down about £10.
Then it makes it really easy then, doesn't it? Just do it all in one fell swoop. Then you don't have four or five runs where people are going, oh, look at this again. You might as well just do it all from the one grade one. But yeah, I'd be surprised if Langer Dan is good enough to win this. And it's a case of, I'd have been with Irish Point if he'd run here. And obviously you can take the view that with Irish Point not running, it must be a bonus for Bob Olinger. Connections must think, well, he's good enough to win this. We don't need to run Irish Point, but I'm not so sure about that. I was with Bob Olinger in the Champion Hurdle because I think he'd have hit the frame there, and I was disappointed that he didn't go to Cheltenham. It's worth pointing out that, you know, he's missed that meeting to come here, but he doesn't have the profile of a horse that would thrive for missing to the Cheltenham Festival, or at least at Cheltenham through his career. I'm not sure he's going to absolutely love a slog here either. He is just about the likeliest winner, but I think Empire Pass has had very little chance to show what he can do this season because he's ended up running in very tactical affairs against Stateman all year, and that hasn't suited him. He ran well in his first two starts. He was disappointing in the Irish Champion, but I think maybe he's just getting a bit sick of having to make the running, and he would much prefer an extra half mile, I think. Based on last season's form, and he'd love someone else to cut out the donkey work as well. So what he needs here is for something else to go on. And again, it's not, you're not guaranteed, but both Beacon Edge and Man's Glory, the two outsiders, they would mostly be front runners, and Man's Glory has made all the running at the entry before, so I can see that one herring off in front and going for a bit of glory, and that will at least help Empire Pass to have something else to chase for a change. And I can see him turning his season around. It's been a bit disappointing given what was expected of him at the start of the season, but basically the dice was rolled, and you know, he's ended up coming up against State Man looking to be the super sum for the Champion Hurdle. It's an unenviable position to be in, really, but I think Umpari Pass will be a lot happier here going 2.5 miles and getting a lead And I think he's a fair bet at around 9-4.
Excellent. A very pass to beat Bob Olinger. Ruby.
I concur with all. A lot of what Rory did argue has just said. I was for Irish Point in this race as well. I thought it looked an obvious target for him, but they're going with Bob Olinger instead. And I think he can flip the form with Bob Olinger. I think making the run, and Darrell Jacob was trying something different on him in the Irish Champion Hurley, it didn't work for him, so I would completely rule that out. And I think his other two runs are really solid. To be beaten a length by the Stayers Hurdle winner and three lengths by the Champion Hurdle winner, I think that reads solid form. So I would be with Imperial Pass to turn it back with Bob Olinger. I would have fancied both horses in the Coral Cup off a mark of 141 to get the job done. So I think that's where the most likely winner is. I fancy Imperial Pass.
All right, double nod for Imperial Pass in the big 2.5 mile hurdle, the entry hurdle.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the national fences, folks. The Fox Hunters, watch out for extra places in this race. Of course, it is a conditions race, not a handicap. And it's on the line bidding to do in those JP Silks, well, get compensation, arguably, for second at Cheltenham in the St. James's Place Festival Challenge, 100 Chase, blah, 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 blah. 7-2 favour, 4-1 Spyglass Hill, New Yard, hacked up on debut for Curtain Yard, been well backed in the anti-post market. Time leader for Hannah Roach and Hugh Edwards is 4-1, 6-1. William Patrick combined with Patrick's own Animix, who is a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde character. If you look at his form figures, 1p, 1p, 1. 15-2 Romeo Magico for Emmett Mullins, and 10-1 Benny's King 12's Bar. Back to you, Ruby, for the Fox Hunters. Is Patrick, he owns this Animix, so he's got to be excited.
Yeah, he owns him with Paul Callagher and Keane Kylie. And Animix, yeah, look, he won the Tetratima under Luke Turner, where he beat Early Doors. Patrick won it himself at Killarney last May, and Charlie Mullins won on him when he beat Billaway at Ferryhouse last April, coming from an impossible position. Looks really likeable all horse. One time favourite for a Supreme. He jumps really well. 2 miles and 6 should suit him. He's a bit like the weather, though, as you just said, PK. He's in and out. And what kind of a day you're going to catch him on, I'm not really certain, but he's fitting as well, and he goes there with his chance. As you said, Spyglass Hill, who was formerly with Henry, hacked up on his Hunter Chase debut for Mr. Palace, who I don't know. Rory, you first name for
Or Palace?
No, I don't know either, to be perfectly honest.
I don't, but I'm sure I will find that out before sticking my mug on ITV on Thursday. But yeah, look. Yeah, Spyglass Hill, I suppose, in a going day is a fair choice too. I thought Benny's King beat Hardline a country mile at Leicester. And he was second to Sinny Numine at Weatherby, who won the Fox Hunters at Aintree. I know he's an 11-year-old, Dan Skelton trends him, but I thought at 10-1, Benny's King could run okay.
Ooh, you're doing him a disservice. 13 now is Benny's King. Yeah, so a teenager. But we've seen this before with the Hunter Chasers. Age doesn't have to be a barrier. Rory, your take on this?
Regan Palace, by the way, my quick googling has found out. I'd like to pretend I knew that in the first place, but that's the new trainer, Spyglass Hill. A lot of the value's gone out of this in recent times. It's on the line, was disappointing in the race last year. He fell, but he was out of touch at the time, and he got taken off his feet in the early stages. He would clearly prefer a bit further. This is an extended 2.5 miles, but they do tend to go quick over the national fences in both this and the Topham. And it's always tended to suit horses who are up at the pace. Now, it's on the line, has been able to race more prominently in recent races. It was always up at the pace when second in the Fox Hunters last time. So I could see him putting up a much better show this year than he did last. And obviously, he was very raw and inexperienced when he ran the race last year, and he's gained a lot of valuable experience since then. So I think he deserves to be favourite. He's probably been a little bit weak in the market since the anti-post market has opened. So he's a bit more appealing than one or two who've been backed against him. Time leader being a case in point. He also ran very well in the Fox Hunters, but he was a much, much bigger price a week or so ago and has been punted into about 7-2. I can see him going off a fair bit bigger and running well. But I'm going to take a swing here. I'm going to take a swing at an old pal, Lieutenant Rocco, who's been in and out since a very promising novice season. Sid Hosey had him these days. He did bounce back to form to win at Kempton on, Racing Post Chase Day, you know, the Cheltenham Trials Day there last season and then finished fourth in the cross country. He's been disappointing this season, but I went to Wincanton in December when he ran and he was huge. He was absolutely, I mean, he's a big horse anyway, but he takes a lot of getting fit. And he looked a long, long way short of peak fitness. He then ran better after 8 weeks off at Taunton when runner-up. And he was turned out very quickly at Wincanton to get qualified. And I think he found that run coming too quickly for him. He's always been a really bold jumper. I think Aintree will suit him. And I think Will Biddick is a tremendous jockey booking for Sid Hosey for the old, I say the old boy. He's only nine still. He should really only be coming to his peak at this stage. But he's clearly been a hard horse to keep right because of his size. But I do think, I've always thought this test would really suit him. Maybe it's been a bit of a rush to get him here. You can see that from the form lines this season. But he's better than he's been able to show. He showed that he was still a decent horse last season. And if Sid Hosey's got him right on the day, he's capable of putting up a huge show from near the frontier. He'd keep out of trouble. And if he's fit enough or after another 6 weeks off, then he looks a bit of value at 20-1.
All right, Lieutenant Rocco and Benny's King, hopefully both double-figure prices in the Fox Hunters 405 for the lads. On to the 440. My annual rant, how does Red Rum only get this race named after him? I mean, what a legend of a horse, and he gets a two-mile handicap chase, which makes no sense. But anyway, it is the Red Rum handicap chase.
He should have a 5-furlong flat race named after him.
Well, he did. Yeah. Dead heated. Shared whoever the whole... There's your table quiz question. Who did Red Rum dead heat with in that 5-furlong maiden? Right, this is the Red Rum handicap chase over 2 miles. Cash your minds back to last year, lads. We were sitting here and probably these, well, Rory was in a different room. And we said, this dancing on my own. Sure, he can't win because the handicapper's given him no chance. And he went and won. He can't win again because he's even higher in the handicap, but he's 7-1. The favourite is Unexpected Party for the Skeletons. Pat Theroux for Gavin Cromwell, 9-2. Then Dancing on My Own and Un Public at 7-1. Samwa, 15-2, Ruby. So I'll start with you on Willie's runner in this.
Yeah, and I think he's a chance. I thought he had a good chance in Cheltenham PK in the Grand Annual until he kicked the last ditch out of the ground, and that didn't help his task. Jumping has become a slight issue for him of late. He's beaten 17 lengths in the end by Unexpected Party, but he has a good old swing at the weights for that. He's been dropped to himself, St. Ross, since Cheltenham. He ran off 152. He's down to 150, and obviously Unexpected Party has shot up for his win from 138 to 146. So, wasn't it £10 swing? That should definitely help his chances. Pat Theroux ran really well at Cheltenham. I think Aintree might even suit him a little bit better. Only Dancing on My Own has probably been targeted back at the race in Home Public one last time out, and he beat Riders on the Storm. But I'd be willing to give St. Roy another chance. Maybe the level track will suit him. I know he's won a county hurdle, but I think 150, he's capable of winning off that. And I'd go with him again just to get his jumping together.
All right, Mark Walsh in the plate in the JP Silks. Rory?
I thought Unexpected Party might be hard to beat. He's had very few races under the right conditions, which is 2 miles on soft ground. He's only run three times over fences on 2 miles on soft ground over 2 miles. Two of those were in Grade One novice, and the other one was when bolting up in the Grand Annual. I think he'll go well, but there's value in this race elsewhere. I couldn't believe the price about Sam Wheat, who's 14-1. I thought this had a chance to starting favourite. Very, very unexposed here. A difficult horse to get a handle on based on his UK form. Two runs over hurdles. Shaped okay first time out. Then disappointed, turned out a few weeks later at Sandown, was it the Imperial Cup he was in? He was beaten 29 lengths when 12th in the Imperial Cup. But then he ran at Chepstow a week or so ago, and I thought he ran a huge race to be second to Prince Quali. Travelled best through that race, jumped really well, travelled really well, almost too well, and it looked like all he needed to do was jump the last, and Lorcan Williams has basically steadied him into the last to make sure that nothing untoward happened. Prince Quali stood outside the wings and landed running, and that was the difference between them in the end. He got run down and beaten 3/4 of a length. That was the best form he's shown in the UK. This is a horse who was good enough to contest the French champion hurdle last year. But although he's got form up to 3 miles 1, the best of his form has come at sort of 2 mile to 2 mile, 2 1/4 mile. He wore a hood last time out and raced pretty freely. I think 2 miles over fences is absolutely ideal for him. And he's completely unexposed under those conditions. So I think he's slightly out of the weight series. He's racing off a £2 higher mark. than when second at Chepstow last time out. But I think there's a lot more to come from him. I think he is, on a day where it's really hard to pick standouts, you're sort of picking little bits of value. I thought he was a massive standout in terms of what I would be backing. And I think you know when I'm going to be napping on the day.
Yeah, you kind of gave that away, all right. Yeah, 440, that was the red rum there.
Otherwise, I'll forget, you see.
When you say a horse you think will go favourite, and currently, as we record, is 14 to 1, you know, and the favourite's fours, I'm like, yeah, he's going to nap out.
I'm not saying I think he will start favourite, but, you know, when I looked at this, I thought, oh, this has the look of a horse that could be a gamble. And I'd have had him in at maybe 7 or 8 to 1 in the first place, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd been punted at that price. So at 14 to 1, that's a definite yes.
Sans Bruit, which I think is the French translation for A Quiet Place, which is that movie that Emily Blunt is in. She's a fabulous actress. Just a fabulous person as well, I'm sure.
Speaks very highly of you as well.
Oh, she does, I'm sure. That would be great. She is in the laminated list, by the way. For those who have, she is in my laminated list. So just Emily, if you are listening, you are on the list. So if we ever do meet up, I've got a pass. 5:15 is the Mayor's Bumper on the card. By the way, an extra place in that race as well, that red run. Extra places in the last three races, including the Mayor's Bumper, which Baby Kate is the 5-2 favourite. Well-bred Willie Mullins, Patrick Mullins, 5-2 favourite. 5-1, the Honky Tonk Highway for the Skeletons. Diva Luna for Ben Pauling, 6-1. What a season he's having, Ben Pauling. Paul Nichols goes there with Jubilee Alpha at 7-1. Gordon's got Speculatrix, 10-1. Ruby, to you, obviously, with a whole host of potentially really smart mares, but Baby Kate, the starting point.
Yeah, definitely the starting point. Out of Augusta Kate, who I don't think won at Aintree, was placed maybe in an Albert Bartlett, was she? Augusta Kate, but Kevin Doyle bought her, former Irish footballer, and he has bred from her. She's by Sean Salise, which I think is a good enough stallion. So sure, her work has been very good at home. She won at Ballinrobe, improved a hell of a lot to beat June Bell at Cheltenham back in November. She's in really good form. Willie had two or three Aintrees, and this is the one Patrick has picked. So you'd have to respect that. And I'd find it hard to oppose her.
Baby Kate, you rode her at Aintree in this race.
Augusta Kate.
Yeah,
Augusta Kate, obviously.
She was placed, wasn't she?
Second, yeah.
Second, ahead of Shattered Love, but just behind, what was she? Cape Grace, wasn't it?
A Hendo horse.
A Hendo horse.
Yeah, a Hendo horse.
Got there to win and something came back at me, didn't it?
Yeah.
And the Potter colours.
Yeah, Cape Grace. But anyway, but she ran a good race and she handled the track, and her daughter looks to be pretty smart, doesn't she, Baby Kate?
Yeah, the furlong out. Went too soon on it.
All right. It's okay, Ruby. We won't dwell on it.
No leopardess. I outstayed her anyway.
She hit it 2 miles. That's about 2 miles shorter than and about 17 fences. Too little for her.
That's before she had had babies as well. So.
Oh yeah. She improved for having the couple of falls. Yeah.
I'm just looking at her. I rode her instead of Penn Hill in the Albert Bartlett. That was a good choice, wasn't it?
Not really. But where did you finish in the Albert Bartlett?
Oh, mid division, 6th or 7th.
Mid div. Who cares? Out of the money. Doesn't care. Rory, your take on the Mayor's Bumper. Not your type of race, I understand.
Not my type of race, no. I was impressed with Diva Luna at Market Race, and when she went straight into a listed race on debut and beat Listen to Your Heart. Ben Pauling was in the middle of a very hot run of form with his bumper performers, and the fact that he threw her into that race suggested that he had her very high on his list. He did... He ran a couple of the champion bumper at Cheltenham, and they're both disappointing. Oh, he certainly ran one who looked very impressive. He ran one who won at Sandown and looked very impressive and then disappointed at Cheltenham. So that's the only slight concern. But I thought Diva Luna would run well. I wouldn't be betting in the race, though. So, hands on the table there.
Fair enough. A couple of flat trainers have got confused, and I think this is a flat turf meeting. Carl Burke and Sir Mark Prescott have got runners in the race, with Nala the Lioness in the first time visor. Sir Mark Prescott's got Solid Silver, both maidens of 3 starts. Okay, lads, that is day one nicely wrapped up. We need your best bets on day one. Rory, I think I know what yours is, so I'm going to go to you first, Rory.
I quite like... I'm going in the red rum, the 440 at Aintree, with Sans Bruit, A Quiet Place. It won't be A Quiet Place if this wins.
Très bien. The pronunciation was very good. Sans Bruit each way in the 440 with that extra place. Ruby?
I'm going to go for Impere Pas.
Well, you can't pronounce the S because there's an E after it. So yeah. When there's an E after the S, you can pronounce the S. Pass. Yeah, it is imperative past.
After
yeah.
the S, you pronounce the E, do you?
Yeah, if there's an E after it, yeah. Usually it's...
Or another S.
There's my education for today.
Usually with French, you just don't pronounce the last letter. That's it. That's usually a good way to get. There are obviously exceptions, but don't pronounce the last letter. Every other letter until the last one. Leave that out. That's why we went Saint-Brie. Anyway, this has gone in a strange place. So
imperative past instead of imperative past.
Exactly. Well, yeah, there would need to be an accent for passé, so it's just pass.
Pass.
Yep.
There you are now.
That's it.
Can we get you down to Willie's some morning just to have a conversation with him when he's trying to tell us how to pronounce the horse's name? you can give him this education.
Yeah, no problem. For small fee. No, large fee, actually. Right. Thank you very much, lads. Best luck with your bets. That's you done for the week, Ruby. Obviously, you're on ITV. You done with us for the week. But we are going to be back on Thursday. We're recording myself, Rory, and bringing in the man of the hour and Joe Logue, who's been firing in winners left, right, and centre for us the last few weeks. They're going to look at the two weekend days, the Friday and Saturday. So enjoy your time in Liverpool, Ruby. Listen, as I said at the top of the show, there's a load of good stuff on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. We're going to try to put a few of these pods on as well, subject to connection, etc. like that, as well as that brilliant show with Ruby, Mick Fitz, Tom, and of course Frank Hickey, talking about all things Aintree. Questions from yourself. Watch out each morning on Good Morning Aintree. That's on the Paddy Power social channels in conjunction with the Racing Post. Paddy Power, Finders Keepers. It's going to be free cash popped into a load of accounts as well. And I think that's it. Ruby, you enjoy the tactics truck over in ITV in Liverpool over the next few. Rory, we'll see you later on in the week. Best luck with your bets, folks, and we'll talk to you later in the week.